The death rate from falls for older adults in Wisconsin is one of the highest in the nation. We're going to talk about that now and what can cause falls and what you can do to lessen your chances of falling, or maybe to help your elderly parents or perhaps your grandparents and to protect them. Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Two guests for you. For this portion of the program, David Nelson, one of them, is the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. David, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah, I am too. Dr. Gerald Pankratz, our other guest, a faculty member in the Division of Geriatrics and Gerontology within the Department of Medicine at UW-Pankratz, at UW-Madison. He is the clinical lead for UW Health's Interdisciplinary Geriatrics Clinic and Mobility and Falls Clinics. Dr. Pankratz, welcome. Thank you for joining us as well.
Yes, thank you for having me on, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. So as we talk with our two experts today, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about preventing falls? What experiences have you had, perhaps? Maybe questions about how do you kind of create an environment where this is not as much a problem? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send us an email. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Dave, let's start with you. Let's talk about the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging.
So, yeah, we're an organization that thinks about healthy aging in terms of what you can do about it, right? So you often think about medical care as, I need to go to the doctor. I need to get a treatment. I need to get a medication. But for most things, there's things that you can do to make sure you're healthy. And we help local organizations run workshops across the country, whether it's on diabetes or managing chronic pain or a range of things, including fall prevention. If it's okay, what I would do is put out a little analogy about what we've just learned. You got a piece about the COVID pandemic earlier. But one of the things we've learned about COVID is that there are things that we can do to make it more likely or less likely that we'll have the virus that will test positive, right? You can wear a mask. You can socially distance. You can get your vaccine. You can do these things. So WEHA works on the same kind of issues for falls. What are the things that you can do to make sure that you don't fall and to get help if you're at risk for it and do it yourself? That's what WEHA is all about.
Yeah. Dr. Pankratz, maybe you could tell us about the Mobility and Falls Clinic to begin.
Sure thing. It's an interdisciplinary clinic, as you mentioned, which just means that there's multiple different specialties and ways of looking at the problem in our situation is falls and mobility. It's constituted by myself as a geriatrician, and we also work with physical therapists that are trained in balance and neurological disorders at the two clinics I work out of. And there's also social workers ingrained into the clinic as well, because there's so many issues outside of the medical or the physical realm that are important that it can impact someone's risk of falling.
And do the services, and it sounds pretty broad, which is great to hear. Are they offered before or after a fall takes place, or both, or what?
It can be either or. Most of our referrals have suffered a fall. There is a percentage, though, that are just particularly concerned about it. They might have a fear of falling, and it's impacting their mobility, their ability to get out and do things from a functional standpoint, or just getting out and doing things that they enjoy. And we'll happily see them. You don't have to have a fall to be seen in our clinic.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You look at the statistics on falls in Wisconsin, they're pretty scary. I think the Wisconsin Department of Health Services had a report back in 2019, something like 40,000 people age 65 and older went to the emergency room due to an unintentional fall injury. Mm-hmm. And it was like 1,600 people or so died as a result of these injuries. What the heck are we doing wrong here?
Yeah, and once again, Wisconsin, per the CDC, leads the nation in terms of mortality from falls. So a lot of variables that go into play. Of course, we have harder winters up here than we do in some of the southern states. And of course, you know, walking outdoors in any kind of icy or snowy environment increased the risk. Here during COVID, of course, that's only worsened the situation. Because a lot of folks, once again, aren't getting out and moving and using their bodies as they're intended to for, you know, good reason, but it does have an impact. And they also might not be coming in to see their primary care or a healthcare provider at all. You know, these virtual visits and telephone visits have been increasing, but looking at, you know, falls and strength and, you know, neurological function, that really requires a face-to-face kind of hands-on assessment. And then I believe that Wisconsin is one of the, you know, states that has a drinking habit. And we do know that alcohol adversely impacts bounds. And if you get particularly inebriated, it's going to impact your judgment, decision making, and you might put yourself into some, you know, riskier situations where you can suffer a fall.
So what are we doing to reduce falls? Dave, maybe I can start with you on that.
Sure. You know, I think there's several things. And it begins with, I think, taking on a lot of the myths about falls that are out there, right? So the myths out there that falls are just this inevitable thing that's going to happen, right? You think about falls as, oh, yes, my aunt fell. Personally, my grandmother fell. She lived 6 more months. And the fall was clearly the mark of decline. That was where we saw the problems. And everybody I knew would just talk about, yeah, when you get older, you might fall. But what we need to do first is change that mindset and start thinking about what we could do to prevent a fall, whether that's getting out there and making sure your balance, strength, and flexibility. Take a look at your medications. What are you on? Are you talking to medications about your doctor about medications that might make you dizzy? Some folks, like you're getting to, might say, well, I'm not going to move around. I'm going to stay put to avoid a fall. Well, that's the worst thing you do. You want to keep moving and keep active. And people are going to say, well, I'm going to stay home. That way I won't fall. Most falls happen in the home. So I think it's a whole range of behavioral things that we can do ourselves to make sure we're less at risk for a fall. The next thing I would do, though, in addition to all those, is talk to your provider. Let them know about your fear of falling. And don't be afraid to even talk about a near fall that you might have had, right? So some people say, I haven't fallen. Talk about a near fall. Just let them know where you stand and get that falls risk assessment. From there, later in the show, we can talk about how we can get folks into workshops in their local area, both in person and online. The Stepping On program is out there that shows that it can reduce falls and save money for individuals who take them. But the first thing I would say is take a look at those myths and dispel them and take action.
Dennis in Milwaukee has a comment or question. Let's pull Dennis in. Dennis, thanks for calling.
Hi, yeah, I just have a comment and maybe a question, but I have a form of neuropathy, which is affecting my cerebellum, and it's hard to keep my balance, and if I turn too fast, I lose my balance. And the main thing I was doing is if I do fall, which I have a couple of times, is just try to tuck and roll, and that kind of helps from, you know, really hard or bad injuries, and I just wondered what... had a comment about the neuropathy part. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Dr. Pankratz, let's start with you, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Neurological disorders are a common, you know, medical underpinning for people that have balance issues. And it can be, you know, a motor symptom, you know, along the lines of MS or Parkinson's disease. Just even a foot neuropathy that can happen just because you inherit it or just because of aging can certainly impact balance. And when the cerebellar, you know, function gets affected, that's really unfortunate because that's the center of the brain that's primarily tasked with, you know, integration of all your neuromuscular abilities and maintaining your balance. And Dennis brought up a good point here about how you fall. Now, of course, it's not something that we want to be practicing, but there are certain skills that you can learn that do reduce the risk of injury. Because once again, as you mentioned, these ER visits, they're not for, you know, scrape on the knee or something. It's usually something that significantly happened, and it might have been due to the way the person fell. So there are some skills, particularly in our physical therapy, you know, domain, that can teach people how to fall more safely when they do. We don't want any falls, of course, but they are going to happen from time to time, and we can sometimes prevent an injury by falling more safely.
Yeah. Dave, a comment?
I would add maybe also take a look at your home environment, your living space. Do you have hard surfaces, sharp corners? How, you know, would you have obstacles in the way? If you have pets that could contribute to exacerbate your problems, you know, getting your home really checked out and making sure it's safe and having a conversation with your providers, with your loved ones, with people who live with you, about what you can do to make that environment less likely to make you trip and less dangerous if you do fall.
Those are good points, and we can expand on all of those. Again, Dennis, thank you for calling, and we'll be certainly taking more calls as we move along. David Nelson directs the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Dr. Gerald Pankratz, a faculty member in the Division of Geriatrics and Gerontology within the UW Department of Medicine. Take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Talking about preventing falls today on the program, and why should we be so worried about it? Well, Wisconsin leads the nation, I think, in falls, or certainly one of the worst states for the number of falls that occur among the elderly. Dave Nelson with us. Dave's the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Dr. Gerald Pankratz, a faculty member in the Division of Geriatrics and Gerontology. He's within the Department of Medicine at UW, and the clinical lead for UW Health's Interdisciplinary Geriatrics Clinic and Mobility and Falls Clinic. So, hope you'll join in. We have a number of callers online. Still a line open for you at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. Tom in Waupaca, we'll go to you first. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call. My mother-in-law was in an assisted living facility, was a fall risk, and we said, well, put a bed rail up at night. They said they weren't allowed to do that anymore, and she fell, of course, and as usual, 6 months later, she's dead. And some of the older employees at the assisted living facility said they used to not have falls at night because they put bed rails up. Now, I know it's hard to confine people, and I understand the rule, but I think we place unnecessary risk on the elderly if we can't put up a bed rail. I'm an attorney, and I said when I retire, I'm going to take it upon myself to find out where that rule came from and try to change it, because I think we're sacrificing lives because we don't want to understand we want to limit confinement, but that's a safety measure.
Yeah. Tom, thanks for calling. We might have comments from both of our guests, perhaps. Dave, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm actually not aware of that rule and want to look into it. I imagine that it's something, if there is something about seclusion and restraint, that it would be pretty easy to get a waiver signed so that somebody could have what they need up based on their individual medical needs. But thank you for raising that with me. I jotted that down in my notes, and it's something I want to look into.
But, yeah.
Dr. Pankratz, I'll look to you. Maybe you have thoughts on this subject.
So I would just say that there's a lot of heterogeneity and, you know, differences between the various types of assisted living facilities. As a primary care myself, that situations come up where a facility is, you know, told a family member that, no, we cannot use bed rails. Sometimes we can override it. Sometimes we are unsuccessful in that. And that situation, we can usually come up with a workaround, either how the room is arranged, putting down matting, scoop mattresses. There's other ways that you can achieve it if they're not willing to budge regarding the bed rails, which are considered a restraint.
Yeah. All right. Tom, thanks again for calling. Albert in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Albert.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
I just noticed something really interesting. I was out somewhere in a state park, and I was hiking on two consecutive days. And on the first day, I fell, and but I was okay. I seemed to work my body properly, so to not really do too much damage. But the second day, same thing happened where I hit a little small root coming out of the ground, but I didn't fall down. But I noticed, this is interesting, I noticed that I both of these things happened on the way back, like after 3/4 of the way through the hike. So I noticed, wow, when I get tired, I'm just not paying as much attention. So I thought that was really an interesting teaching for me to just learn to be careful on the tail end of things and really pay more attention.
Oh, that's interesting. Thanks, Albert, for calling. And I imagine being tired, Dr. Pankratz, is one of the major reason for falling.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're able to get out and walk in more challenging circumstances, that's a good thing. And I never want to encourage someone to stop doing that because of one of these incidents where they do stumble. It's going to happen from time to time, especially if you're, you know, walking out in uncertain terrain where there's roots and you know, deviations in the ground. But as our body gets more and more fatigued, and I think as the caller mentioned, your focus can often be affected as you tire out. And that's a situation where you're going to be at an increased risk of not making the right kind of adjustment when you do lose your balance, and you're more likely to go down to the ground or the floor.
Yeah, that makes sense. Linda in South Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call today. I just want to find out, there are a lot.
Oh, Linda, you're breaking up on it, but I have, I thank you for your call. I'm sorry you're breaking up, but she wanted to note, and this is probably true, that a lot of falls are never reported. And Dave and Dr. Pankratz are both nodding. Dave, you comment?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't know the full level of falls out there. People are not reporting them. When you have a near fall, you're not reporting it. And we're also hearing from our emergency services folks that as much as 40% of visits out there into somebody's home are for falls. And they call, some of you hear me referred to as tip-ups, where you show up, you tip the person back up, you leave, and you come back next week when they fall again. Which is why it's so important when you fall to talk to your provider. If you do have EMS come out to see you, emergency services comes by, and they ask you to follow up with your Aging and Disability Resource Center, don't be afraid. Make that contact. This is one piece. We don't have a full grasp on the level of falls that are out there. We could also imagine it's probably been much worse over COVID when folks are less likely to go in and get their care. We see a lot of chronic care needs going unmet, less likely to call for help into their home. So there is a untold level of need out there and a real need to follow up. Get yourself into a program like Stepping On. We can talk about it if we have time. Talk to your provider. Contact your Aging and Disability Resource Center for the programs they have out there to keep you from falling.
How do we find that Aging and Resource Development Center?
So there's two ways to do this, and they can put you in touch with programs that work on balance and strength, Tai Chi programs, which are very effective at times, but predominantly this program Stepping On, which is going to look at all of your needs. So one good way is to go on your Google machine and type Aging and Disability Resource Center in your county. You can also go to wihealthyaging.org, wisconsinhealthyaging.org, which is the WI part, and hit find a workshop, find a class, and that will connect you to programs happening in your area.
Let's take another call. Gloria in Shawano, we'll go to you. Hi, Gloria. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for listening to me. I'm a retired RN, and I was working home care in the early to mid-90s when the very first statistics on falls nationwide came out, and we were number one. And from there on in, every home we went into to see anybody at all, we were constantly assessing for falls. And it's very discouraging because through the years, it's like we remain number one, and I think one year we were number two, but then we bounced back up to number one again. And I don't know what it is. This is just kind of a funny aside because I would work with people in three different counties. And so I would get into the area where they were Polish, and the Polish people would explain to me that these Polish are very stubborn. Their families would tell me this. The Germans would say, you know, the Germans are so stubborn. The Norwegians would tell me, yeah, he's an old stubborn Norwegian. And it's like we would walk in the door, be lifting up scatter rugs on our way in, explain the whole rationale why you should not be using these, you know, and we'd come back 2 days later, and every single one was down on the floor again. And so we'd walk in picking up the rugs and explain everything again. And it's like there was one, Oconee County in particular, had a really good fall prevention thing that I could plug people into. So if you'd assess them, then I could refer that to them. So I know there are really good programs out there, and if you're at risk at all, go to them.
Yeah. Gloria, thanks. Dave, a comment?
Yeah, you know, not only are we number one, but we're increasing at a faster rate than other states. So we're number one in climbing. And Gloria, I just want to thank you so much for the work that you have done in making those connections. But it is, if we're going to really move the numbers for our state, we need something big. I wanted to point out that Senator Tammy Baldwin in the current appropriations bill has money in there to create a Wisconsin Center for Falls Prevention that would look at bringing these programs to scale, connecting with diverse communities. And one of our biggest issues is to help our emergency service folks out and make those connections and get people into these programs. So, you know, Gerald and I and Larry, you and I, we can all get together, we can talk about this, but we need a plan in the state. There's also a proposal in front of the governor right now to do something bigger with this. We need a plan that links all of our systems to get our systems to talk to each other. We need a way to get home modifications done much easier. And we know these problems are greater after COVID. So, Gloria, I wish that I could pay you to make commercials like you just did, because you really said it all. And we need to respond as a state, in addition to taking care of ourselves, which is what we're mostly talking about.
Thanks very much for that, Gloria. I really appreciate it. Dr. Pankratz, you're dealing primarily, I would guess, with those who I think you said, with those who have already fallen. Do you do much in the way on the other end of it, or trying to prevent the falls?
Yeah, most of our referrals have suffered a fall, and oftentimes it's injurious. They might be getting referred from their primary care or even from the emergency department, or just have, once again, a family member themselves being concerned. And when you can't do anything about a fall, it's already happened. You're going to deal with the consequences one way or the other. But once again, there are evidence-based strategies that can really move the needle and lower the risk of that next fall. And it, as far as things that, you know, raise the risk of falling, having had a history of falling is probably number one, along with, you know, just the weakness that comes from decreasing activity. And as mentioned before, medications and, you know, visual impairments, all the other things that can impact someone's aging course, they all add up to increasing the risk. And once again, it's never too late to have this kind of an assessment with your primary care or in one of our interdisciplinary clinics like I run, where we really take the time to look at things more comprehensively and see what can be improved over time.
Larry in Janesville will give you a chance. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There's actually a couple quick things, and it's from life experience with family and whatnot. And I would say that you've all done a great job of mentioning a lot of the risk factors and things that cause falls. And I would say, too, sometimes it's a vanity issue. You know, people don't want to think that they're old, and a 90-year-old mother-in-law certainly is kind of getting old and doesn't always want to use a walker or a cane, and I understand it, but it creates a lot more work for them and the caregivers. And I would say that a lot of what I've experienced personally in terms of having my balance or strength and that, and that's at 61, is when I'm more religious or faithful about my yoga practicing and having that core strength and not feeling like, oh, I'm going to fall. And even at my age, there's sometimes where, you know, you wake up at night and you don't quite have your equilibrium right, and you certainly could fall and hit your head on something. And again, it just creates so much work for the person that falls to rehab, you know, so it's very sad.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Larry, for calling. I appreciate that. And there's probably some vanity involved. You know, he's right. There may be some vanity involved in some of this. Dave.
That's absolutely true. I'm not sure I'd use the word vanity because I think people, they really treasure their independence and their sense of autonomy. Dr. Frank has said before, it's never too late to stop. It's also never too early, right? I'm clumsy. I was clumsy as a kid. I'm clumsy as an adult. I'm going to be clumsy as I get older. I know that. I need to start thinking about how does my house look? Am I walking heel to toe so I don't trip over something rather than my toes like I used to? There's a whole range of things to start doing. And I think if we think of this as not something that people should do when they're very old, but people should do as they feel themselves aging, right? I can't do judo anymore. Those falls hurt like heck. So I stopped doing judo. Now I'm doing more yoga and Tai Chi and stuff like that. I'm thinking about my aging in a different way. And I'm starting early. So if you start in your 50s, thinking about this, we'll get rid of the stigma about doing it in your 90s.
Gene in Cudahy, thank you for calling.
We got a program that I'm going to October 6th through the 17th that's free. It's called Join Us for Step Up. And it's at Aurora South Shore on Lake Drive. And it's free. And it's the 6th through the 17th. And you got to register. And the number is 414-489-4072. I've been to it already. It's for people 65 and older that do fall. And they show us what to do and, you know, exercise and everything. So I've been to it already.
Well, good for you, Gene. And that's in Cudahy. We have, I imagine, Dr. Pankratz, that there are programs like that around the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, as Dave mentioned, checking the ADRC website for your particular county, that they should have a comprehensive list of the various programs. There's, of course, Stepping On, the Otago, you know, program. There's all sorts of good evidence-based classes that, you know, some of which are now being done virtually. That's an option for people that are you know, concerned about being in a group setting, particularly if they have, you know, vaccine-related concerns.
Yeah, I think that's great. I would just add that if you look at that Stepping On program and connect to the ADRCs, the research has shown that that reduces falls by 31%, and that it has an average cost savings of $345 per person when you average that out in terms of their expenses. So the classes are not going to cost you anything. Go in, and on average, you're going to save money and fall less. So I don't know, sometimes $300 and some might help overcome the stigma. That's a good way to think of this as insurance.
Thanks again, Gene. Dennis in Two Rivers, your turn. Hi.
Hi. I also have trouble with fatigue, and I get distracted, and I bump into things, and I remind myself this is the house I grew up in. So I know where the walls are, but still I get tired, and I bump into some things, and it's frustrating. When I go down steps, I consciously count the steps to make sure I consciously pay attention to it.
Hmm. Dennis, thanks very much. Comment, Dr. Pankratz?
Yeah, I think he's bringing up a good point about, you know, our mind's focus on things, because we often take for granted the fact that we're going to stay upright. But balance exercises is really an excellent opportunity for you to get your focus on what's happening with your feet, your hips, and your core, and how that integrates and how it, you know, gives you increasing confidence over time. So I'm glad to hear that he's, you know, really focusing on what's going on around him, especially when he's in a more challenging circumstance like stairs or when he's tired.
I was thinking about my own experience. It was about 10 years ago when I moved into the current house. It had been completely sort of redone. And as I came down the steps from the second floor to the first floor, twice in a couple of days, I thought I was at the last step and I wasn't. And I pitched forward a bit. So 10 years ago, I took some blue painter's tape and put a strip of painter's tape, a little strip, on the last two steps to the bottom, and I haven't Haven't had a slip since.
That's a pretty good home modification there, just to get some kind of contrast on the lip of the stair, so you can see it, and there's one more to go, two more to go.
It was probably about a 2 cent expenditure there.
Oh,
may have saved me. Well, some final words here. We got a couple minutes left, but maybe Dave, go to you first. What do people need to be doing now?
Well, I would put this as put falls in your list of things that you can do to avoid. Don't think of this as something that might happen to you or always happens or just like magic, you might fall one day. No, falls are something that we can reduce. And to talk to your providers, talk to the people that visit your home about this. And maybe think about taking one of these stepping on workshops and hopping on there and taking those pieces as well. Then I would say the other piece is, Larry, we've got to think about this as a whole state. We can't put this on every individual alone. We've got to make it so that our emergency services talk to our ADRCs and to our adult protective services programs, that when people are discharged from the ER, they're set up with the right programs to look through. We have to invest in this. Let's be number one in something else. Let's be 44th in this one. Let's reduce this. And I would call on people who are listening, and to think about that as you talk to people in your communities and your county. Ask your county folks, what are they doing to prevent falls? Go to your your trustee meetings. Ask those questions. Ask it of your governor. Ask it of your senators. If this was happening to us, happening to a different population other than the elderly, we would be up in arms over this. But our lives matter, and we could do something about it. So those are my two points, Larry.
Thank you. Dr. Pankratz, anything to add in the last 30 seconds or so?
Sure. I would just emphasize that falling is not a normal consequence of aging itself. And there's a lot of factors that we can intervene upon and work on. It's up to the individual, or at the very least, their family structure, because a lot of our highest fall risk do have dementia. But in any event, just reach out to your clinician. And once again, if you're really wanting to get the comprehensive approach taken, which, has evidence that it works better than doing it one thing at a time, look us up at the UW here at our Falls Clinic. And there's a few scattered interdisciplinary clinics around the state as well.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for being with us today. Something is not going to go away, so I hope we can have you back. Dave Nelson is director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Dr. Gerald Pankratz, faculty member in the Division of Geriatrics and Gerontology within the UW Department of Medicine. We'll get them back, and we'll talk with them again. Just looking ahead tomorrow, an author of a book on how it's called Entangled Life, How Fungi Make Our Worlds, Change Our Minds, and Shape Our Futures. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.